everyone. I am so thrilled about today's episode of Beauty Bosses. We're here with the iconic Cynthia Rowley, the celebrated American fashion designer who makes the chicest clothes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, it's such a treat.
And your offices are gorgeous.
Oh, thanks. Well, oh, I love beautiful. A look. I love a good aesthetic endpoint. So, so in spaces too.
Aesthetic everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy that you're here because you are such a legend. You make such beautiful clothing, and we want to find out how you became this person. So, I wanted to start by asking you a little bit about your childhood and upbringing, and if you always knew that you were going to end up in fashion.
Well, I always knew I would be creative. I knew I loved the creative process. And, you know, growing up, I was not in an environment where people talked about fashion or it was in people's lives. And so I went to art school and I thought I would become an artist, a painter. And then always sewed and loved all that. And so the fashion part of it, you know, like the fashion in quotes part of it was really secondary. It was the artistic side of it that was always something in me since I was little, I guess.
So when you were in art school, did you focus on a certain type of art, visual art, wearable art, or was it a little bit of everything?
I mean, I started as a painter, which, by the way, your art collection in your office is
thank you.
Very impressive.
Thanks.
I started as a painter, and I love that still, and I love collecting art. I love, you know, hanging out with artists. And I think, you know, I would never say that fashion is art. I don't think that that's, you know, it's commercial, but I do think, like, to be your most authentic self in fashion, I think there has to be like that deeper artist kind of
that sensibility
vision.
Right? Yeah, you have to learn the alphabet before you write the great American novel, and you have to study great classic art before you can riff on it.
Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense. So you started your company in the 1980s, is that right?
Yeah, it's so funny because I say in the 1900s, you know.
The 1900s,
I mean, I guess if you want to call it that, you know, I just finished school and started making stuff.
And how did you start? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you a little bit about.
I just sort of accidentally sold to some stores in New York and sold to some stores in Chicago. And then, you know, the next step was, oh, I have to actually make this stuff now. And, you know, figuring it out along the way, I never had a plan and actually didn't even know there were factories that made things. Like, I was really naive, which maybe was better. And one day I packed up a U-Haul and drove to New York and just started having shows, and it was crazy. When I think about it now, I think about those, you know, in cartoons when somebody, you know, there's like an explosion and somebody's like patting themselves down, like they're covered in soot, and they're like, "Oof, that was really something," you know, and you're like, I don't know how I made it through that. You know, it feels like somehow I survived.
That's amazing. So your brand grew from those sort of somewhat scrappy beginnings to quickly becoming a standout in the industry. And you are really known for blending bold prints, feminine silhouettes, and also a lot of sporty essentials.
Sporty, yeah.
So how would you describe the ethos of your brand today?
That sporty meets pretty is like the kind of simplest way to describe it, because I make a lot of surf stuff, I make a lot of ski stuff, and then I also make like pretty dresses that are very feminine, and I just like the intersection and of those two completely disparate elements and how they, you know, inform each other.
One thing that I really admire about your work as a designer is how it sort of encompasses the duality of many women, where we like exactly. to be feminine and pretty and girly and dolled up, but then also, you know, on the slopes or at the beach or okay. in the water. Here's so I love that.
Here's a perfect example. Yeah. Last night, I went to the American Ballet Theater gala, and I was all dressed up in this, like, satin gown thing. And tonight I'm so stoked to be going to the Knicks game and like screaming at, you know, my favorite players. So that to me is like the perfect,
yes,
you know,
because we're complex creatures. I know
combo,
especially kind of coming into this era in 2025 where people are really defining their own identities, and you don't exactly. want to be all, you
one
know,
dimensional,
or all pretty girl, yeah. or all sports star. Totally. You want to be a little bit of all the different things.
Yeah.
Okay, I
and
love
the more
that.
Extreme, you know, in each direction, the better, I think.
You're also an author, and you've appeared on numerous television programs, which kind of further cements your place as a cultural icon. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've decided to go into these other little realms, too?
Oh, I mean, I wrote some books, you know, throughout my career, and it's really fun to do. And then, you know, if someone asks me to be on a TV show, I'll do it. I've been on every reality show there is. Well, not any dating reality shows yet, although people are talking about The Golden Bachelor that I should... I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Anyway,
I feel like that could be funny.
I like that you say funny, because that is kind of my motivation for everything.
There's a
in
campiness
life. I'm
to
like,
it.
If it's funny, yeah, maybe. No, I think that's where I draw the line. But, no, I've been in some cameos on some shows. Like, my kids, my daughters were watching Gossip Girl, and they, like, freaked out one day because they were like, oh my God, Mommy, you're on Gossip Girl. You know, like, sometimes I forget I do the things too, but yeah.
What have been some of the big trends and changes you've noticed over the decades? Because there have been some very distinctive moments in how fashion has evolved from the 80s to the 90s, to the early aughts, and now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't really, I would say that I had a full decade of the 90s and then onward to now, but it's changed so much because, I mean, obviously technology and social media, but also I think just as a discipline, you know, fashion was so... had its moment, I think, in the 90s, very revered and, you know, celebrity front row and all that. And because it was exciting and people would come just to be a part of it, you know. And now it's like a different, you know, it's a little bit more transactional. And, you know, of course there's supporters, but it's just a little bit of a different
yeah.
vibe. And, the shows are different now. I'm actually gonna have my 101st runway show this September.
Amazing.
I know, it makes me I'm like,
since you started last century.
Yeah, exactly. Started in the 1900s and then
with 101 shows under your belt. That's really incredible.
It's crazy.
That's amazing.
Well, because we used to do men's, we've done shows all over the world, and like when you take this show on the road plus 2 or 3 or 4 per year, you know, it all adds up.
Do you think back on a couple of early big breaks that allowed you to really break into this world? Because there must have been some moments of uncertainty early on in your career.
Oh my God, so
many. Were you ever unsure that you would make it?
Like all the time. Like for the first 10 years, I would say. I mean, I definitely had what I would identify as lucky breaks, but also those lucky breaks are things that happen that you
willed it
purposefully
to happen. Yeah.
Take advantage of, you know. I think it's not like a break where you just go like, okay, come to me, goodness of every kind. You know, it's really like something has to happen and then you have to see it and you know, work to hustle. When you said scrappy, I'm still scrappy. Like, I'm a hustler. I'm like, I'm happy. I'm proud of that, you know.
I love hardworking people. I never understand the romanticization of people who don't try hard. Like, I love someone who tries hard. I feel like that's what makes people interesting.
I mean, it's really, can I swear?
Yeah,
it's really fucking fun. My job is so fun. I love it so much. I feel so lucky every day. I mean, yes, it's an emotional roller coaster because there's like so much. It's like, you know, crazy, you know, every day, like so much going on. But I feel so lucky, you know, that I would never not want to do it as hard as I could.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. I want to ask you, what are your top three favorite pieces that you've ever designed?
Impossible.
Iconic. Oh, impossible. A couple. One, five, ten. A few. What are a few iconic Cynthia Rowley pieces that you think?
Well, I designed three wedding dresses for myself.
Wait, those have got to be top three, right? Those are big
no,
moments.
No, definitely
though.
Not. No, I don't know. I don't really. I really am not sentimental.
Okay.
I'm not sentimental about the work. I just want to make more all the time. I'm like constantly cranking stuff out and ideas and scribbles and like putting things in where it's really.
How do you approach putting your ideas and your work into the world? Is it mostly driven by social media or through traditional retailers or through, how do you speak your language to the people?
Well, in 2020, on March 13th, 2020, when I was like, oh, that was a nice career you had, Cynthia. Where are you going to go surf now for the rest of your life? I was like, I really thought I was done. And then by March 16th, I guess was Monday, is that right? I reinvented the way we work. And now we design, make, and ship every day. So we will, in September, once a year now only, we show a collection, but it's really a conglomerate of like all these multiple drops that we do. So two or three times a week, we drop new product, and it's a crazy hamster wheel, but we drop new product, keeps our audience engaged. We do it through email blast, text, social media, and then we have partnerships with all the retailers, Saks, Neiman's, Nordstrom, that are, it's like a marketplace. It's online only. And then we have a lot of our own store. We have 9 of our own stores and more coming, hopefully. And so it's just like,
it's,
you know,
all
a lot
things,
of moving parts.
Firing
all
on every
things.
Cylinder so every, that you can have a maximal impact. That's really cool.
It's really fun. I mean, it's like very, it's much more immediate and more, we can react to things that are doing well. Or we can, you know, like sweep some dogs under the rug every now and then, you know, and just be done with it. So it just makes it much more nimble and fun.
What advice do you have for a young person thinking about a career like yours who wants to go into fashion or who wants to put their designs into the world?
I mean, I think it's the best time to do it. I always say that. It's so much easier now than, like, I think when I started, when, you know, not to sound like a little old lady, but you know, we had Rolodexes, and you know, then I got a BlackBerry, and you know, it's just like there's so much. It's the access to technology and an audience.
It's
and
amazing, right? Even a teenager can start a whole online storefront on their phone.
There's like an 8-year-old kid. Somebody keeps sending me stuff. I love that. I love
it. It's incredible.
It.
I mean, the just entrepreneurial spirit, right?
I love it.
This generation's lemonade stand is like extremely scalable.
Exactly. And you know what? Do it. If you decide you don't like it anymore, then stop doing it and do something else. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, it's so, it should just be authentic and free and fun. And
I love about you that you have such a spirit of joy in your work, because sometimes people, or at least I perceive some people, to be bogged down by their work. But I love that you find the excitement all around you in all of the different aspects of problem solving with your job.
I mean, I just think you gotta every day take risks, roll the dice. Like, I never take anything too seriously. Like, I just think, go for it.
How do you define your personal style?
15-year-old boy? No. Well, I walk to and from work every day, and I, am like really active and busy all day, so I mostly dress pretty casual during, the work week. But then I can clean up pretty well. I can get
I've seen you in all your beautiful designs. You usually wear yourself?
Always. I mean,
why not?
Why not? Yeah. I also like run through the studio like 10 minutes before I'm supposed to be somewhere, going like, what is it? Is it? I'm like running around, grabbing things, putting on, an outfit, and running out the door.
Your daughter, Kit Keenan, has also emerged in the spotlight, and she's kind of reflecting your family's generational flair for fashion and self-expression. How has that been?
I am so proud of her. I'm so excited about everything she's doing. She's shooting her cookbook this week, which is really cool, coming out next year. And she's such a boss.
She learned from the best.
No, I'm like, I never was like a momager, you know what I mean? I just think she just has it in her. She is who she is. And I have another daughter, Gigi, who's 5-6 years younger, and she's a boss in her own way, but like she's still in school. But like, I just, I'm so proud of Kit. She really just like, she had an idea, and I knew she would figure it out, and she just did it. And I really take zero credit. She's her own person, and I'm really proud of her. I said I'm going to make a t-shirt that says Kit's mom, Kit Keenan's mom.
How cute.
Or something like that. People go into my store and I hear them, like, they don't know who I am, and I'll be in the store and I hear them go, "Oh, this Kit's mom's store. Oh, cool. Yeah."
Yeah, that's quite an amazing feeling.
I love
Well,
it.
On that note, what do you hope that your legacy is?
My legacy. That's hard. I mean, all the things like kind and, good mom and all that. But also, I hope people think that I was kind of a badass and kind of just would do things, just whatever was fun, and take risks and, all of that. Like, I guess I like that duality again, where I'm a little bit crazy. I admit it. Like, do crazy things. Like sport things. And
well, like, what kind of stuff? I know about the surfing, but what other stuff do you do?
I mean, anything. What do you got?
Oh, all right. Well, I love that.
No, there's on our Instagram, it's one of my favorite pictures ever taken ever. It's me doing like this swan being held up by a guy on a surfboard in California, doing a tandem surf. It's pretty epic.
That's amazing. I have to check it out.
And then, yeah, I do a lot of crazy. I got all my teeth knocked out by a wakeboard. I surf all the time. Yeah.
That's amazing. You got to switch it up and keep it interesting.
I do. I'm trying to be a little bit safer though now.
Yeah. That happens to all of us. I think I feel that way too.
A little bit more sensible.
Tone it down.
Yeah, tone it down.
What do you hope, my last question is, what do you hope for the future of your brand? And do you have any fun things coming up in the pipeline that we can look out for?
I hope it just keeps growing. We're excited about some, international distribution, and I love doing new categories and introducing new collabs and stuff like that. So we do a lot. I say it's not that we've done everything, but we're always doing something. So actually coming up, I have the eyewear, Elisteva eyewear.
Cool.
Just launched. And we have state bags coming out, like weekend bags. And then we have Pottery Barn collab coming out.
Very
and
cool.
And golf, all in the next 2 months.
Oh, great. Golf is going to be cute, I'm sure.
Golf is really cute.
Well, thank you so much. Tell us where we can find you and shop all your beautiful designs.
Cynthia Rowley.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful.